All right, so this is basically a run through for the podcast that I would like to start doing. I kind of want to do video reviews, not really video, TV, series reviews. I like binge watching series all at once, so this is kind of one of those things where if I get into it a lot, then I usually want to talk to someone about it, and not a lot of people that I hang out with watch the things that I watch. So, here I am doing it, by myself. Hopefully, every once in a while, I'll have someone who can be here with me. Recently, I've gotten into the show Claws, and not like claw, like Santa Claus, like Tiger Claws, like the nails. Of course, what else, Jane? Ugh. All right, so the show is premiering on TNT. It's in its third season right now. I started on the first season through a recommendation of one of my friends. So basically, I started watching this show a few weeks ago, and I've kind of jumped from season to season, kind of seeing what's good, seeing if I like it. And I recently went back and watched the pilot all the way through, paying more attention to it. And I really enjoyed it. The pilot shows the main cast, I would say, which would be like Desna, the main character who owns a nail salon, Jin, who's someone who works there. Really, I guess it could be broken down into Desna and Uncle Daddy are two of the bigger players in the show. Desna owns a nail salon, and Uncle Daddy owns, to be determined, really. So basically, the show opens up at a nail salon in their parking lot, and we are shown our main character Desna with two of our supporting actresses, which would be Quiet Ann and Jin. They are, talking about a party that they want to be going to, and they all start doing like bad bitch struts. Everything stops in slow motion, their hair is blowing in the wind, shit's getting all cute, they're strutting. Quiet Ann looks like a piece of something that I want to break off. And everybody's getting all excited. They walk into the salon because, of course, they have to get their day started because it's a business. When all of a sudden, Quiet Ann, who is sitting outside, taps on the window, and I'm like, okay, is this really when all of the crime and shit is starting to go down? Literally within the first 5 minutes. And no, a little white lady with bright red hair walks in, and she is like calling out for Desna. Desna, Quiet Ann, and Jin are all hiding in the back of the nail salon, and they all jump out wearing like party hats and having like little things in their mouth, making noise and being like, "Oh, surprise!" As if this bitch was on vacation. But you can feel in the atmosphere that she definitely was not like in Cancun. So, it's quite obvious they all know each other, and Quiet Ann takes to whom we find out her name is Polly. She takes Polly, and they start, dancing, getting to know each other again, vibing or whatever. It really does become very obvious between the main characters, like Desna, the way that Desna is greeting Polly and talking about how everything was and did you get my packages. It's like obvious that she was in jail when Karrueche's character, I don't know if you guys know Karrueche, but Karrueche is a very popular woman in my opinion. She's had a couple of makeup collaborations. Well, really, is that what I know her from? I know her from dating Chris Brown and makeup collaborations. But her character in the show is named Virginia. She walks in, and everybody kind of feel like the atmosphere in the room changes. Like it's a sour mood whenever she walks in. They all try to get acquainted. They all sit down, and they get on with their day because clearly they're at their place of business, or whatever. The nail salon's packed. They're doing people's nails, killing it. The nails look hella cute. I follow the nail designer on Instagram. I could probably find her name and put that in at some point. But they're doing nails and whatnot. When all of a sudden this white man in a fucking tracksuit walks in, and his name is Roller, we do find out. Roller walks in and grabs Desna, and they straight up, how do I put this? Roller and Desna head to the office. Quiet Ann guards the door, and they just straight up start having sex, like loud on the desk, like while clients are there. The most unprofessional sex, other than the fact that they're sitting there, not sitting, well, they're banging there, talking about business. Like, I really don't know how else to describe it. Like, they're really just pounding it out, and going, so Roller, when are you getting my money? When are we doing this? I'm trying to open up another location, you know? And it starts to become clear that Desna is doing something to get money so she can open up another location for her nail salons. When in the middle of this, Roller looks her dead in the face and he's like, choke me, which I guess, you know, that's normal or whatever. To the point where he keeps screaming it and she does it and this man fucking passes out. Like, what? Like, he straight up falls to the floor, passes out. And Desna's just like, yeah, it's a normal day at the office. This has happened before. You know, she wakes him up, and then they still continue to talk about money as if this man did not just pass out from autoerotic asphyxiation. Like, it was just, oh, you guys, this fucking show. So, you know, he comes to, they're talking about money, and then you start to hear this, I guess this title thrown around, not really a name, I would more so put this out as a title, of Uncle Daddy. Yeah, Uncle Daddy is who they're starting to refer to, and Roller is starting to talk about how Uncle Daddy needs someone, you know, i.e. Desna, read in between the lines, to make a run for him. Desna goes, you know, they finish their business. Desna goes out. Everybody's like, you done did that. She goes out and she starts talking to her girl. She's like, hey, I need to make a run. Polly suggests that she and Virginia could do the run, but Desna's like, no. Desna pulls Virginia to the side and looks at Virginia and basically goes, you don't need to know my business. You can stay the fuck out of it. Stay in your lane is the gist of what Desna tells Virginia. And you can see that there is like, I wouldn't say like hostility, but more so like, I need you to respect me and you're constantly disrespecting me type of vibe. So she says that, cuts to Desna, Quiet Ann, and Jin in Jin's van making runs to multiple banks depositing money, which is pretty obvious that they're washing money, you know, how people do that for like drug fronts and whatever. So it's pretty obvious that they're washing money for a Roller and or Uncle Daddy or both or whoever, whatever. And Desna's doing this for around $20,000 is the price that she and apparently Roller had discussed getting. So, you know, she's doing all this and we get another cut to a doctor's office where a doctor named Dr. Ken is quite paranoid about some Russian men doing some business and or just loitering in his office lobby, which honestly, I've worked in retail and more specifically, I've worked in a lot of like spa type businesses where you do have a waiting room and, you know, it's pretty open to the public, but oh my God, do I hate it when people just sit there whenever you have no business being there because you're stressing my goddamn day out. So I totally understand, you know, he's being paranoid and they're basically like, get a grip, you know, you're just being paranoid, shut up, do your job, do what you're doing for us. You know, so it goes straight back to Quiet Ann's van. What a weird phrase. It goes back to Quiet Ann's van after they make their deposits and they go to the doctor's office. So after they do these deposits, they go and see Dr. Ken and we meet him for the first time. It goes back to Quiet Ann's van. And after they make their deposits, do what they do, Desna starts showing Jin the nail salon that she's doing all of this for. It's a gorgeous salon, stunning, you know, it's just so, you know, it's like really just high class, just super fancy or whatever. And, we get to go actually see this salon with Desna and I guess her agent that she's working with. She's going on this tour of this really high luxury nail salon. And the woman who is showing her, I assume it's her agent, the woman who's showing her looks her dead in the face and is like, are you sure that this is your style? And the way that it just seemed was like rude as fuck. And my first thought was like, well, Yeah, it has to be someone's style, and clearly the current owners put it up for auction or for sale or whatever. So clearly it's not there, so it must be mine. Well, yeah. Who the fuck asked you? If I'm looking at the place, let me look at the place, you know? So, next we see Desna in her car, and it's kind of a pretty good juxtaposition to show her two lives, what she wants and what she has. She has like an older car pulling into her driveway, which, is not a huge house. I mean, it's a house that's perfect for her and her situation at the moment, but it's not clearly what she wants for herself. And this is whenever we get to meet Dean, who is Desna's twin brother, who is, I don't know if he's like mentally handicapped or just mentally ill, but there's something that's kind of a little off with him. But, she greets him. We learn that his name is Dean. And he is drawing like pictures of what he thinks her nail salon should look like. And it's very clear that Desna is the one that's providing for the both of them, and she's trying like her hardest, not only to give herself a better life, but also her brother. And it was one of those things where you can just see like literally the compassion in the acting, and it just was done so well. This show does a lot of cuts where it's like a minute here, 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here. So we're back at the nail salon, and all of the girls, except for I don't think I remember seeing Virginia in the nail salon. It's a little bit later in the evening, it's the same day. They're all getting ready for the party that Desna, Jin, and Quiet Anne were talking about in the beginning of the episode, where we didn't get much information as to what the party was or who the party's with or for or whatever. So they're all in the salon, so that's Desna, Jin, Quiet Anne, and Polly, and they're all trying to convince Polly to come out with him, with them. Polly says her ass-shaking days are over, and then she gifts Desna Versace as like a thank you for welcoming me back, saving me a spot and keeping like a place for me to work. The three of them, so Desna, Anne, and Jin, go to the party, and Polly goes on like a longer walk, just kind of like I don't really know. I would assume down the street. Don't really know what direction she went, but we see Polly walking towards a motel, and we see her open up the door, go inside the motel, plug in her vibrator, turn on the TV, grab a beer, and just kind of sit back and start enjoying her night. Then we get to see this party that everybody was actually, they've been talking about. It's a New Year's Eve party. It's at a strip club, and it, seems like a place that everybody's familiar with. You see the entire cast that we met up until this point all there. So Desna and Jin, I think Karrueche's somewhere in the background. I don't fucking know. So now we're back at this New Year's Eve. So now we're at this party that, everybody's been talking about since the beginning of the episode. This has all been the same day, mind you guys. Like, all of this is just happening in the span of a couple of minutes. This is the same day. It's the night now. They're at a strip club for what turns out to be a New Year's Eve party. The strip club kind of seems like a place that all of them are familiar with, all of them being Desna, Quiet Anne, Jin, Dr. Ken, and Roller. They're all there. They're getting down. And this is when we meet, I do believe for one of the first times, Uncle Daddy and what seems to be his boyfriend. Uncle Daddy, the scene that we're introduced to him is Roller, Uncle Daddy, and a young man lying on a sofa in a private room. They're being served oysters, and Uncle Daddy is just not feeling it. I guess they were nasty as hell. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't taste them. I'm not gonna say much. He said it tasted like shit. So he asked, he got upset because him and Roller are sitting there doing cocaine. And he tells his boyfriend to go get the waiter. The waiter comes over. He expresses his distaste with the oysters that he had been given. Tells the waiter to go ahead and try one. And the waiter, obviously, from his face, these things are probably rancid. And Uncle Daddy straight up just hits him overhead with a water, like a fucking glass jar. He smashes a bottle over his head. And clearly, it's obvious that this man is crazy. I mean, we kind of got the vibe from him serving either his child or like his nephew or whatever blow. But yeah, no, this is fucking insane. Just like an introduction for at least a character like that. And he starts to tell Roller of an even bigger job. It's still quite unclear exactly what the job is. But it is very clear at this point that Desna is the person that washes their money. Uncle Daddy is the kingpin of whatever operation is going on. It kind of seems like it's pills. And Roller is just one of those middlemen that kind of finds people to do his bidding. I mean, it's kind of smart, but whatever. Back on the dance floor, we see Desna and Roller, having a good time. They're getting down when Roller sees his brother Bryce. It's not quite that obvious, but with the reunion that they have, it's obvious that they are family. It turns out that it's his brother. His brother's name is Bryce, and Bryce is Jin's husband. See how all this is getting connected, y'all? How Desna met Uncle Daddy because, Jin works in her nail salon. Jin's married to Bryce. Desna's fucking Roller, who is Bryce's brother. Everything is so fucking crazy. And then out of nowhere, Polly shows up in a fucking ball gown, like in a prom dress. She kind of looks like Cinderella mixed with Ariel because of her hair color. It is real weird. Then Quiet Ann gets a sketchy ass text. She goes outside and it's some lady risking it all in a parking lot on what turns out to be New Year's Eve. Fucking Anne, straight up just going for it. She's like, "Oh, I don't know about my husband." If you didn't know about your husband, girl, you wouldn't have been here in the first place. Ugh. So, just like that, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year in the strip club in the back of the SUV. They're having a great time when Uncle Daddy calls over Desna and gives her $3,000 of the $20,000 that Desna was promised by Roller. Desna is clearly fucking not happy about it. She's very upset. She's trying to, find someone to talk to get this thing rectified. I mean, girl, honestly, I don't really think the drug trade has human resources, but this is why that would need to be a thing. That or like a formal complaint box sometimes truly does work. Anyways, Desna finds Polly, and Polly and Desna are talking for a second, and then they look over onto the main stage where, the strippers are doing their thing, making their money. And who do we see on the stage, y'all? Can you just guess? Can you? Well, obviously, it's Roller for one, but guess who else? All of a sudden, Virginia's ass just pops out of fucking nowhere, and she's dancing on Roller. And Polly's like, "Do you need me to take care of this? I'll go take care of this." And Desna's like, "Oh no, girl, don't worry. I'm gonna teach her how about respect." Which, yeah, girl, I don't really have much to say other than that. Like, Desna just took shit into her own hands. She's being an adult about it. She's not making a scene. She's like, "No, I'm just gonna teach her about little thing called respect." Cuts to Desna and Roller are at a food truck and what I would consider like an after party for them when Desna confronts Roller about the amount of money that she was given from Uncle Daddy and how it was not the 20,000 that she'd been promised. Roller tries to tell her, no, I'm gonna make this right. You just gotta do a couple more things for me." But she makes it clear that she's been working for him for a year and the deal with him was I wash your money for a year. And after that, I get my 20,000, I get out of this, I get my salon, and it's over. When Roller starts to get pissed, he looks at her and threatens her because she is quote unquote ruining his night. And I'm so fucking sorry if I washed your money for a year and you didn't give me all the money that I was promised. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't give a fuck about whose night I was ruining because mine has already been ruined. Ugh. Anyways. And at the end of the fucking conversation, she doesn't walk away. She doesn't do nothing. It just seems like she still works for him. Period. And this is what I'm assuming the rest of clause is like. So it's. Ugh. It's the next day. We're in a grocery store. For a second, I did not know what was going on, but we see Bryce, who is Roller's brother, and we see Jen and their two daughters. They are grocery shopping when they get to the back of the grocery store and they see Polly sobbing into a six pack, still in the same prom dress that she was wearing the night fucking before. She is crying because, I mean, obviously, if there's someone crying into a six pack, I assume it's because they don't have money for that six pack. So, my suspicions were confirmed. She did not have money for the six pack, and she looks at Jen and she's like, "You guys have already helped me so much, and I just blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, honestly, I get it. People have helped you, but shit, girl, you don't need beer. And she was like, "I don't have any money because I'm having to pay back all the restitution to the older people that I've scammed, like with the identity theft." And then, duh, I already said, it felt like from the moment that she walked into the salon that she was in jail. Not like she was at Cabo, but she was in jail. And now we know why. Apparently, she scammed a whole bunch of old people in Florida and took their identity. And as soon as she said that, I don't know if any of y'all watch The Office, but I love The Office. And the first thing that I thought of when she was like, "The identity theft. Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. Millions of families are affected by it every year." I can't. So we don't even see like what happens with the rest of that confrontation. It goes straight to either Jen's house or Desna's house in the backyard. There's a cookout going on, and we see Jen, Bryce there, the kids, Dean, Desna. They're all having a good time from what it seems like when we hear Jen talking to Desna about the whole Polly situation. So they're chatting. They're chatting about, Polly's financial struggles when Jen brings up the fact that Uncle Daddy just bought Roller a new multi-million dollar house in one of the nicest streets, in Florida. And, ooh, girl, if I tell you, Desna's face didn't turn so quick, and she straight up like hopped in her car. And she, honestly, the same thing that I would do. She hopped in her car and went straight over to Roller's new house. She was like, "Send me that location." Actually, she didn't even need to say send me the location because she got a text from Roller that I think that said like manscaping or something like that. And then just a fucking address, which, y'all, I've done waxes. I do waxing. If someone just texted me manscaping and their phone, like their address, I would block that fucking number even if I knew them. Like, I don't. Anyways, so Desna pulls up to Roller's new house, mind you, gorgeous house, clearly worth multi-millions of dollars, where she goes to confront Roller about the lying that he's been doing. And boy, when I tell you, she walks through this house onto this patio where this man is lifting weights in like Versace boxers, and he looks like the biggest tool I've ever seen in my entire life. She's talking to Roller about, getting the money that she deserves and shit. When all, like it cuts to, he's like, "Bitch, I got zebra." He was going on and on about the things that he has now acquired with his wealth that technically, in my opinion, should be Desna's. And he's like, "I got zebra curtains hanging in my bedroom." And as soon as he says that, you can see someone's hand from looking out the window move. And the look on Desna's face is like, "Oh, he's cheating on me." Which she said that they had an open relationship, but to a certain effect, "Don't bring me over to your house when there's another bitch here," was the look on her face. And this man straight up just pulls his pants down and is like, "Get to work." And she does. She just starts manscaping the hell out of him, girl. I swear to God, I would not. I just would not. We go from the scene of her giving him like a manscape session to her as in Desna and Dean, her brother, on a beach. Dean's having a great time living his best life, and Desna's fucking stressed out. I mean, I would be too, girl. Shit. You got a lot of shit going on. And this is only the first episode. Like, really? And it cuts back to Roller's new house with Roller in a bedroom. And guess who the fuck was in his bedroom? Bitch, guess when Desna was there. Of course, fucking Virginia. Who the fuck else would it be? Virginia's ass popping up every which way she shouldn't be. Like, I really can't with her. She pops up, she's fucking Dean. Or, oh, whoa. She just pops up out of nowhere and she's over there fucking Roller when all of a sudden, in the dark, out of nowhere, here comes Desna watching through the window. Just when you think that this show can't get any weirder, there is a peeping Tom scene. It is kind of weird. I understand the premise. You got to see it to believe it, but still, I think I'd be like, ew, and then walk away. Not, let me finish eating what I'm eating. And clearly, she's fucking pissed. And Desna gets a call. She, gets a call from Roller. She's okay. So after this scene, it goes to Desna being in her office in the nail salon, on the phone with Roller. Roller's talking to Desna about, hey, you need to be. Or no, he was like, hey, you need to fire Polly. I can't have someone that's been to jail, in my operation or whatever. And then he ends it with, and then you need to be nicer to Virginia, as if, bitch, bitch, as if we didn't already know that this was Virginia doing this shit. Then he was like, now you need to be nicer to Virginia. Oh, wow, shock, surprise, you're clearly fucking her. Tensions are pretty high. People aren't fucking happy about the situation when, a little bit later, Virginia rolls up to the nail salon with a $17,000 bag or some shit like that, or a 7,000, girl, I didn't hear the exact number. I heard either seven or $17,000 bag. It's Versace. And she walks in. She's like iced out, wearing like an icy choker. She looks hella cute, all in pink, like she'd been fucked real good or whatever. Desna asks her, hey, are you like feeling any better? Because you said you were sick. And she's like, yeah, I just got some sleep and I feel a lot better. No one believes her. Polly offers to get her some coffee and Virginia declines. Polly walks over, locks the door, and Desna walks over to Virginia, real cute or whatever. Virginia goes like, "What?" And Desna straight up punches her in the face. Amen. Amen. I mean, to a certain extent, you already knew what I was doing. You knew who I was with, and you. To a certain extent, you already knew who I was with. You already knew whatever. And you straight. So, Virginia rolls up with like a. I fucking can't with this So, Virginia rolls up with like a $17,000 bag or like a $7,000 bag. Yo, I didn't hear exactly how much the bag was, but I heard that it was like seven something. Anyways, it's like a Versace bag. It looks real cute. Virginia walks in all iced out. She has like an icy choker. She's wearing all pink, looking like she's been fucked real good. Desna looks at her and she's like, so, are you feeling any better since you were like sick or whatever or whatever, Virginia looks at her and she's like, yeah, I feel a lot better. I just got some sleep, Polly, looks at Virginia and she's like, hey, would you like any coffee? Would you like to go get some coffee? Virginia declines. So Polly gets up and she goes over to the door and she locks it. Very interesting. Desna starts to saunter over towards Virginia and Virginia looks up at her and I think she even goes like, what? Virginia looks at her for one hot second and then just straight up punches her in the face. And honestly, my first thought was like, amen, girl, you can't be doing that to your boss. So Virginia, is on the floor. She's crying. She's like, you can't do this to me anymore. I'm like on your level, blah, blah, blah. Then Jin looks at her for one split second, grabs her by the hair, and then smashes her fucking face into one of those, like, what is it, the nail polish racks that salons have. She just straight up pushes her face into that shit and throws her ass down. And, you know, she, Virginia's crying and all that. Fucking Desna grabs this bitch up and she's like, get out! Get out! Get out! They kick her out, you know, they throw her out, literally like throwing her out. They put her on the ground. Desna gets in her face. She's like, I took you off the streets. I took you from being a stripper. I taught you a trade. How the fuck could you do this to me? I'm over here trying to make your life better, and you're literally over here trying to make moves behind my back. Like, that's shady. That's disrespectful. You're not allowed to do that kind of stuff. And then Polly comes over and gets her purse and, whew, so disrespectfully dumps her fucking purse out and then throws that white ass purse onto the ground. It's like, y'all, take that shit. Desna's like, bye-bye. And Polly looks at her and she's like, you want your cinnamon gum, sweetie? And then kicks that shit over to her. It is so funny. But, you know, to counteract this great joyous scene we finally get, Mandy, the real estate agent that, you know, Desna's been talking to, the bitch, calls and is like, hey, Desna, you missed the deposit and you didn't have the rest of the deposit. And if you don't have the deposit, blah, blah. Well, duh. Yeah, she fucking knows. That's how a deposit works. If you don't put down all of the deposit, you don't get the fucking shit. Like, duh. Like, clearly she already knew that she missed it. Like, thank you for the reminder. Desna, not happy about it, so she goes to Uncle Daddy, you know, to the source, to be like, hey, I was promised this by Roller. I didn't get it. You only gave me $3,000. I need this for my salon because I need to put the deposit down. When she gets to the strip club, where it's obvious that Uncle Daddy primarily, you know, facilitates at, works at, or and or owns, this man straight up carving a mermaid out of wood, like, and then's like talking about cutting off her titty on accident. It's just so weird. Desna is talking to him about this money, and he's like, hey, bitch, you didn't make any deal with Uncle Daddy. You made a deal with Roller. If Roller didn't give you your money, I'm sorry. I will give you more money once we open up more clinics. And then that's when it becomes very, very clear to me that the front that they're doing is he is selling pills. He's selling pills through the clinic, and he's having Desna wash the money for him. She's like, no, I need it now. And he looks at her and he's like very stern about it. He's like, no, only whenever I open more clinics will you ever be getting more money from me. So chill the fuck out. So we get to see the clinic again. So the doctor's office where Ken is, and Ken is calling Desna because he is still very paranoid by the fact that the Russians are still in his office, which I do believe that does now make 2 days that Russian people have been sitting in his office not doing anything, which I guess I would find kind of weird too. So he calls Desna because I guess that's the logical first, you know, place to go. Desna, I have no fucking idea if she's like the enforcer for them or some shit. He calls Desna, and we see her in the nail salon working on someone's nails, and there are knuckle tattoos on this woman getting a very nice manicure. I've seen tattoos like that before. They're Russian knuckle tats. This lady is a Russian, and she's doing like, and she's very well dressed. So from what appearances show, it seems that the Russian woman that she's doing the nails of is probably the one running the operation with the ones that are in the doctor's office. Wow, that took a while to get out. And so she picks up the phone because, of course, Dr. Ken is calling her. She picks it up and he's like, I need you to get these people out of here. I'm about to call Roller. I'm about to blah, blah, blah. She's like, don't call Roller. I'll be down there in a minute. Whatever. She, you know, finishes up. She rushes out. She's like, hey, someone take over. I need to go do this. So she goes over to Dr. Ken's office with Jin and with Anne. So she goes over to the doctor's office with Quiet Anne, and when we see the doctor's office, it is a fucking shit show. There are people outside of the office screaming. There are people in patient gowns running in the middle of the street. Anne grabs a bat and starts running after someone, almost getting into a fight. Desna goes inside. It is pandemonium. It is straight chaos in that place. There are people like slamming their heads against vending machines. There are people screaming. There are people just doing weird shit everywhere, honestly. I mean, it seems like Dr. Ken is probably taking some of the pills with how paranoid he is. It does seem that he is also a very legit doctor who might have just gotten mixed up into a clinic that is not legit. So he's freaking out and not doing anything about it. Desna's trying to speak, you know, somewhat normally to these Russian men who are sitting in the office, and she's like, hey, you guys, you know, you can't just be sitting here. And then she keeps questioning them, like, because they're not answering her. They're literally just talking to each other, not answering her. And you can feel like tensions are getting high. She's getting anxious when she kind of looks down and there's like a lucky cat just sitting next to the two of them on a table. She grabs that shit, just smash it. Says, blah, blah, blah. She grabs that shit and just smashes it against the wall. Clearly got everybody to shut up real quick. The two men look at her and she screams, get the fuck out. And they are not stupid, so they fucking leave. Cuts back to that Russian lady that was in the nail salon getting into an SUV. You know, doesn't really show us the importance of that other than that she has money, you know? So it's later that evening. Desna's at her house, you know. It's a very intimate moment for her, not intimate with herself. She's just on the toilet. When, you know, we start to see more of the not so sweet side of her and her brother. And it's not like a, how do I put it? It's not like a fight. It's more like Dean is throwing a temper tantrum because he can't quite control his emotions. And he's talking to her through the door. It's raining outside and he's, you know, screaming that there's a leak in the ceiling, and he's saying that it's raining inside. Desna's trying to, you know, calm him down, and he keeps screaming that you said that we would be gone out of this place by now, we would be moved in a year, and we're not moved. Why aren't we moving? What's going on? Why can't we do this? And it's obvious that Desna is just trying to keep him calm while she's having a breakdown herself, because she is now learning that all of these things that she genuinely thought were going to happen at this time by now are not going to happen the way that she thought. So she is, you know, she's out of the bathroom, she's laying in her room, and she just looks broken. She looks like she just does not know what to do with herself. So the next day, it cuts to the salon. Quiet Anne is there first, you know, cleaning up the salon. Desna walks in after having her night. She walks in with the envelope that Uncle Daddy gave her with the $3,000 in it. And she starts to, you know, there's music playing. It's only music. Everything starts to go in slow-mo. And she starts to divvy out all of the $3,000 that Uncle Daddy gave her through the tip jars of all of the women that she works with. Slowly, all of the girls start trickling in, except for Virginia, start to come trickling in through the doors. They all see it. They're all having a great time. They all start, you know, dancing and having a good time. Desna pulls Polly aside, and she looks at her and is like, hey, you don't need to keep saying thank you. We know that you're grateful. We know that you want to be here. And she looks at her, and she's like, I'm going to take care of all of us. And you know, it was obvious that she meant it, that she's giving out this money so it's not just her getting it. It's not just her profiting out of all of this. It's not just her taking a risk. Everybody is. So, you know, obviously she's paying it forward. Later that day, we're back at Rollers, and Desna walks into this fucking mess of a house. You can literally hear Virginia, like, fucking gasping for air because Roller is out on the porch, fuck choking her to death. Like, she genuinely can't breathe. Desna was going to sit there, like, watching through inside the house. She was going to let her, die. Then she's like, oh, no, whatever. So she walks out, kicks, the champagne chilling buckets. She kicks one of those, gets their attention, screams at, you know, Virginia to get the fuck up, go the fuck away. Virginia does, and she's like crying. She runs and she's crying. Yeah, it was so weird. This whole scene is very weird to me, just the way that it's so. He goes from literally fucking Virginia to go, I'm doing this to teach you a lesson. I think he literally says that to Desna, which is the most manipulative shit. It's so gross. Then he looks at her, pulls his pants up, and goes, thread me. Or like thread my brows or some shit like that. And Desna's like so chill with it. Kind of like with the manscaping scene. It was really weird. She does have the string to thread. Also kind of thought that was weird. But then she, starts to thread and, she nicks him one good time. And you can start to kind of get this feeling that something is about to happen. So she's threading his brows and he's sitting in between her legs down on the ground and she's sitting in a chair. So he's sitting away from her. And his head is in her lap. When, she's doing her thing, all of a sudden, she just kind of like hits him over the head with, I don't even know what really. It pushes him into the pool and just straight up starts to drown this man. She's drowning him. It seems like she did her thing. She's like, die or whatever. And then she looks really freaked out and sad. And then, of course, if it's kind of like the Game of Thrones thing. If you don't see the character without their head on, they're probably gonna come back. And he just straight up Aquaman punches her ass out of the pool. He jumps straight the hell up. He starts beating her ass. And it kind of seems like he's really about to like take Desna's life. When all of a sudden you hear a gunshot go off, that motherfucker falls to the ground, and Virginia's standing there with the gun, and I'm like, holy shit! Redemption, finally. Finally, I can love Karrueche like the way that I normally do. They look at each other, Virginia and Desna, they look at each other for a second with like the, like, thanks, no problem, the thanks for earlier, no problem, whatever, let's put the shit behind us and let's focus on getting the dead man away from us as fast as fucking possible. So, quickly they go, we need to make this look like a crime scene. They start shooting up the house and then they go, we need to take care of this body. They put his body in what I do believe was a surfboard bag and they take him down to his own personal dock. And again, you guys, this is in the middle of the day. This is in Florida. I do believe I've been around this part of Florida. The channels are, there are big houses like mini mansions. And they'll have docks in the back and a channel that runs through the back. So you can have your boat to the dock and you can go straight out from your backyard to the ocean. This is the same kind of sitch. And they go down to the boat with this surfboard bag with a body in it. And it's obvious that there's a body in it with two little ladies dragging it. And take it down to the dock. They start to take the cover off the boat. And there's a body already in this fucking boat. Like, Roller has already been like, oh, I know exactly where I'm gonna put this thing in the boat. So, whatever. They put him in the boat, and Virginia's like, well, at least he's not alone. At least he's not alone. They pour gasoline on this boat and then light the shit on fire, untangle it from the dock. Like, I don't know, they undock it. They hoist up the anchor even though there's no anchor. And they let the boat go. Like it's running. They let the boat go. They run into the house. They get some of Virginia's shit. They're like, wait, also people know that you were here. Leave a little bit of your shit. Desna being a detective or whatever. They ditch, they go, and the episode basically ends with Virginia looking at Desna and being like, well, am I in your little crew now? Well, fuck yeah, bitch. You done saved my life, and now we both took care of a body, so both of our hands are dirty. You might as well fucking call yourself the King of England, and I'd be like, yeah. Like, shit. But in conclusion, that shit was crazy, honestly. And it was like an hour long episode, and it did make me want to watch more. This show only gets better and better. It gets crazier and crazier with even bigger stunts and a lot of shit just randomly happening. And I really hope that I can do this kind of podcasting for a couple of different shows, not only this one, but a couple of different series that I really enjoy and just have really wanted to talk about with someone. I just haven't had the opportunity. But I hope this is going to be that. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And if you do, do whatever. But honestly, just let's get into this shit, because I don't have, the reason why I watch shows like this is like, I don't have much drama in my life. So this is like the drama that I need. But yeah, so I hope you guys really, I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I will be back, I guess, sometime soon with another one of these, hopefully.